So good morning, Joan, and welcome back on this frosty morning.
Exactly, it is. And, you know, the weather turning as it has been in recent days from a fairly mild winter is of concern in a different part of Italy, in Tuscany, off the coast, because actually the story that has dominated all of the media here since last Friday evening is the grounding of the ship Concordia with 4,200, you know, passengers and crew aboard. And I have kind of inadvertently become involved only because a person on our parish council at Santa Susanna contacted me. He had a good friend who was a journalist in Minnesota, where a very devout Catholic couple who was on this cruise seems to be missing. They are among the unaccounted for. And they have four children. They've been involved in their same parish for 40
years.
Are they
elderly?
And 60, he's 69, she's 70. And they're among the, I've read both 22 and 21 unaccounted for. And so the newspapers there have contacted me, like, what have I heard? Or in some cases, what could I translate? I might have heard something in Italian that they need to know in English. So we've been in touch, and the couple very, very much admired, as I said, the parents of four kids, very close family, and they've been extraordinarily active in their parish for 40 years, the same parish, St. Pius X in White Bear Lake. There have been vigils practically around the clock and everything else. So as we are recording, there was a day when they, because of ship movement in the water, when the underwater divers could not go into the ship to look for any survivors, and they have resumed that. But again, weather might change an awful lot of things, stronger winds, bigger waves. And so it's an ongoing drama now. Of course, once they conclude the work of looking for possible survivors, when they've determined they've done all they could, then they have to start the recovery, removal, actually, of the 2,300 tons of
fuel. It's going to be a massive enterprise.
Yeah, exactly. And the minimal estimates are that it's going to take several weeks, and that's if all goes well, weather and everything else. And I've been riveted to a lot of television programs that have dedicated themselves 2 and 3 hours at a stretch to stories of crew members, of Italian survivors, and amazing things are emerging, which I'm sure our listeners in their respective countries have been reading in the paper, too. So hope is always, as they say, the last to die. And, you know, you hear of miracles, for example, with earthquakes. And somebody's under tons of rubble in a building, and they're pulled out after 12 days. So I'm a firm believer in miracles, and one can only hope that among those who are missing, if I didn't say their name, Barbara and Gerald Heil from Minnesota. So we will. And you know what? Of those missing, almost half of them are Germans.
Really?
Apparently there was a fairly good-sized German group on the ship, And so anyway, we want to say prayers for all the victims, those who survived, and obviously the families of those who did not make it. The death toll, as we are recording our show today, is 11. So, you know, we'd like to think that that will not change. We imagine that it will. So that has been the main non-Vatican news, if you will. But the Vatican news is, of course, the week of prayer for Christian unity, which began Wednesday. The Pope did refer to that Sunday in his Angelus.
And again on Wednesday during the audience.
Right. He noted that it coincided, the beginning of the week of prayer for Christian unity, traditionally is January 18th to the 25th. And it has a different theme every year, chosen by the World Council of Churches, by a member in that group. This year, of course, it was actually Poland. And it's interesting, this week I had forgotten this one fact, that the week of prayer for Christian unity is celebrated from January 18th to 25th, as I said, in the Northern Hemisphere.
Right.
And
it has different dates.
Exactly. And nearer to Pentecost in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is promoted by the World Council of Churches, which is a fellowship of 349 churches that seek unity. And the Catholic Church is not a member, but they do participate in some initiatives. And, of course, they participate in the Week of Prayer for Christian unity.
Well, the theme this year, I happen to know it, is We Will Be Changed, which is from St. Paul to the Corinthians.
Right. And it really, the theme focuses on the promise of transformation of human life with all its dimensions of triumph and defeat through the victory of Christ's resurrection. And when the Pope talked about this Wednesday, about this week, Wednesday in the general audience, he noted that, again, the theme was chosen by representatives of the Catholic Church and the Polish Ecumenical Council. And he said, interestingly enough, Poland's experience of oppression and persecution prompts a deeper reflection on the meaning of Christ's victory over sin and death, a victory in which we share by faith. And he asked all of us to pray that the Lord strengthen the desire for unity in each one of us, and then the actual unity, obviously, of all Christian churches. And you know, interestingly enough, he did link all his speech, the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, to evangelization. He's talking about the new evangelization. We're going to see a synod on that in October. And that is a constant thread now of Pope Benedict's ministry.
Absolutely. So we just mentioned that during this week there are a myriad of events in churches all over Rome in which people of different Christian denominations participate.
Get together and pray. I know Santa Susanna is involved. Right. I'm head of the parish council, and we always have a group, obviously comprised certainly first of all of our priests, the Paulist Fathers, but also of parish members who participate in an ecumenical event every year in Rome. And it was actually a quiet week. When you look at the Pope's schedule of the week, it was basically quiet. Thursday, he did meet the U.S. bishops of Region 4, and he met an ecumenical Lutheran group from Finland who always come to Rome at this time during this week of prayer. And interestingly enough, if our listeners remember, the Pope did receive three regions of bishops from the U.S. before Christmas. It was late November and early December. He received them on their every 5-year ad limina visit. And actually, the last time they had been here was 2004. And so they should have been here in 2009, but you had the illness and death of John Paul. You had the election of Pope Benedict, kind of getting his agenda all set for days, weeks, and years to come. So everything kind of was put on the back burner. But what I found fascinating about the Pope's talk to the bishops of Region 4, which is Washington and Maryland and Virginia and Delaware, what I found fascinating was, and I'm guessing the bishops asked him to talk about this, but his common sense would say, we've got to talk about religious freedom in America. And 'cause he talked about the consensus of the relationship between the nature of reality and the moral good. This is enshrined in our nation's, in America's, founding documents. And he said today, the Pope said, that consensus has eroded significantly in the face of powerful new cultural currents that are not only directly opposed to core moral teachings of the Judeo-Christian tradition, but increasingly hostile to Christianity as such. The Pope highlighted that the separation of church and state is legitimate, but he said that cannot be taken to mean the church must be silent, nor that the state may choose not to engage or be engaged by the voices of committed believers in determining the values that will shape the future of the nation. So he talks about, Pope Benedict stressed really the imperative of the entire Catholic community in the United States to realize the grave threats to the church's public moral witness, which is presented by a radical, which we see in a radical secularism that finds increasing expression in the political and cultural spheres. So he highlights the need for the bishops to engage Catholic lay people in, to educate them, to make them articulate and well-formed participants in the political scene. There's no reason not to be in politics. but you also have to be well informed as a believer. And we see that in some of the candidates for the presidential election later this year.
We'll be hearing more and more about that.
We will. But I mean, those who are firmly sticking by their beliefs, to have candidates go out on the big stage of politics and firmly profess their beliefs is basically what the Holy Father's asking for.
Right. Thank you very much, Joan.